Today on Real Radio.
The highway to hell is broad and its gate is wide for the many who choose that way. But the gateway to life is very narrow and the road difficult, and only few ever find it.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J. thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his series through Paul's second New Testament letter to the Corinthians. We're looking at a section in chapter 7 where the Apostle Paul explains the difference between a worldly grief and a godly grief. It's really the difference between remorse and true repentance. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now. It's a lesson called Salvation's Key.
You want to have a nice read this afternoon? When you leave church, go read the 2-volume set of John Locke. He's the one that our founding fathers studied to create our Declaration of Independence and the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. And it's talking all about justice that comes from a God who is just. He's holy. He's pure. And this word vindication means to accept the justice regarding the error, regarding the sin. And a Christian, listen, a Christian loves this. This is what the book of Hebrews talks about when it says nobody loves to be disciplined during the time. Listen, when our youngest daughter was little, she didn't understand things, but man, she had a strong will. She'd get in trouble we even have pictures of this, it's hilarious. She'd get in trouble, and she knew that she was about to be spanked for her trouble. So you know what she'd do? She'd stand there like this. And you'd go like this, boom, and she'd look at you like, is that all? Is that it? That justice doesn't work. That's got to be a heart thing. God says when he's at work in our lives and he speaks something to us, do we just say, I dare you, God. Spank me all you want. No, the Bible says for the child of God, discipline is not pleasurable for the season. But listen, especially some of you who may be in God's doghouse right now. And it ain't going good for you. Do you know, listen, you want to hear some good news? The Bible says God does not discipline any child that's not his. Can you go sin up a storm? Nothing happens to you? No conscience convicted? No sorrow, no grief, no awareness that you've sinned against a holy God? Why? You're not his. You're religious at best, but you're not his. A child of God step out of line, and he brings a right jab out of a thunderbolt, dude, and will knock you out. Why? Because you're his kid. And none of his kids get away with stuff for long. If you say, I don't believe, I don't want my kind of justice. No, listen, only God is just, and he's purely fair. And he says, he ends this portion of the argument, in all things you proved yourselves to be clear in this matter. The word proved here is awesome. The word here means this, that you set in a line the order, or we would say today, you cleaned house. It means to introduce, to step through the complete process, to exhibit, to stand near. God says you stood near and you saw it all the way through to the end. And he says you cleared yourselves in this matter. What a great thing. Third and final point regarding this proving, which showed that they have done did the right thing. They displayed the right thing. Look at verse 12. Salvation's key is the practice of sanctification. Can you write that down, church? This is where we end. Therefore, although I wrote to you, I did not do it for the sake of him who had done the wrong, nor for the sake of him who had suffered wrong. I think you know what we're talking about. It's so early in the morning to have to bring this up. But Paul is specifically rebuking them for the 1 Corinthians chapter 5 event that we all went through a year or two ago going through this 1 Corinthians, was the fact that the church at Corinth and its leadership was taunting and exalting the fact that they were so gracious as a church. We're so right on. You can come to our church no matter how you're living, no matter what you're doing. You don't need to change. You can just come and we accept everybody. Now that sounds cool on the surface. And in Corinth, they had a young man. Well, we don't know if he was young or not. It doesn't say. The Bible just says that a man was having sex with his stepmother, his father's wife, and you are puffed up about it rather than mourned. I mean, that sounds like something right out of Hollywood. Paul says, what's wrong with you? You guys nuts? He even said to them in 1 Corinthians 5, the world doesn't even do that stuff. And you do it, and you do that and allow it in church, and you exalt the issue that it's happening, and you boast in it. They argued, look how gracious and forgiving we are. You can have sex with anybody you want. It doesn't matter to us. That's how cool we are. And Paul says, you should be throwing up over this. The letter went out. They read it. The church dealt with it. Guess what happened? The man repented of it. Now, by the way, this is kind of sad. We have no word of the woman. Paul doesn't address if she repented or not. But the young man did. How cool is that? Does that encourage you? I'll say it for you. Yes! Wow, that's amazing. Yes, what happened? Sanctification is at work. To practice sanctification, jot it down, is to rehearse and to have rehearsed in you the work of God. God, can you say in your life, God's at work and he's been at work? I hope so. The origin of the word sanctification is found in creation itself. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 3, the Bible says, and God blessed the seventh day and what? Sanctified it, that is, to he declared it to be, because that in that he rested from all his work which God had created and made. The word means to set apart or to declare it in a condition, in a certain way. Salvation's key, this practice of sanctification, jotted down, number one, sanctification is provided by Jesus. Verse 12, we learn that. It's provided by Jesus. Sanctification means this. You are being, watch me, you are being pulled out of this world, watch, and God takes the world out of you. Are you watching? He takes you out of this world positionally. He reaches inside of you. I'm making this up now as a picture in your head. He pulls you out of the world, imagine, lifts you up off the ground, puts you up in space, so to speak, while you're out there going, what's going on with me? He reaches inside of you and takes the world out of you and then puts you right back in the world. I love it. We are aliens now here. That's why you don't feel like this is your home. You've never been to heaven. You've never seen God. And yet, every day you think about, I can't wait to get home. God, let me be faithful until your day that you've set for me, but I'm going home. I talked with a woman of this church, 91 years old, this week, who she, I'm telling you right now, her talk about heaven and being with Jesus, it's as almost though she had half her body there. It was such a reality, she can't wait, and God's never failed me, she said. He'll never fail me in that moment, and it's going to be great. See, for those of us who are not so close to death, we're thinking, oh my gosh, what do I... Well, take vitamins. Well, I'm going to exercise. Why? Be healthier, live longer. Really? I mean, it's okay, exercise. Don't get me wrong. But you and I, believer or non-believer, you're going to go into eternity the hour God has ordained. He ain't going to change it. Oh, yeah, well, what if I jump off a roof? That's the day that God ordained. Well, what if I'm resurrected from the dead in the doctor's office? That's the day God ordained. He ain't changing it. He knows. Here's the question. Where are you going? Smoking or non-smoking? Heaven or hell? Where are you going? You need to know that. Jesus provides sanctification. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30 says, but of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. What do you add to this? Look at that. Are you a Christian? Yes. Then get happy. Look at that. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3, for this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, and that you, listen, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification, there's the word, and honor. That is cool. Man, oh, the Bible's just an old book. Do you know what this book, you know what that verse is talking about? Ladies, manage your sexual body parts. That's what he's saying. Don't mismanage them. And men, you manage your sexual body parts and don't mismanage them. Think of it. Isn't that brilliant? Does that not, 2,000-year-old wisdom I'm giving you right here, is that not, should that not be preached in schools today? Hey, kids, put away your stuff and zip it up and close it down and hide it. You're just asking for trouble. I can't believe he said that. I'm just talking about the Bible. Sanctification, Jesus provides it. He owns your body. The Bible says you've been bought with a price. So therefore, glorify God in your body, which is His. Did you know your fingers belong to God? You know wherever you let your eyes go, the Holy Spirit's looking through your eyes too? Wherever my feet go, I'm going. The Holy Spirit's going with me. Secondly, under this point, the salvation's key is the practice of sanctification. Sanctification is gifted by the Holy Spirit. It's gifted, it's given. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 13. We are bound to give thanks to God always for you. Brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by, a lot of cool words there, huh? The Spirit, that's capital S, Holy Spirit, and belief in the truth. You know what Charles Spurgeon said about that? He says, sorrow in itself cannot produce anything except sadness of feeling. But godly sorrow produces change. Now, repentance is a change within us, both of thinking and of doing. We can tell if true sorrow is actually that by seeing if it produces repentance. So godly sorrow cannot be measured by feelings or by tears or by what it produces. What happens after the confession is what defines if the man be new, says Charles Spurgeon. Has the Holy Spirit visited your life with sanctification? Meaning, is the reality of Him relocating your heart's affections real in your life? Is it real? This church is big enough for not only for you to see me walking around town, but for me to see you walking around town. And when things are going on in life, listen, remember, you might have a sticker, the cross or praise the Lord or whatever sticker on the back of your car. Your car's not saved, or maybe it is saved. But on the inside, when you're arguing with your husband or your wife and it's coming out of the windows of your car, that can be heard at stoplights. Or if you're drunk weaving on the road and you've got a church sticker or some church sticker on the back of your car, that's not a good witness. Neither is you and I bumping into each other as you're carrying cases of beer out of the grocery store and you look like you just got electrocuted when we run into each other. I'm not God. I'm not the Holy Spirit. The question does arise in my heart, is this person walking in sanctification? This is the Lord's beer. I said, Pastor, I can't believe you're saying that. Well, time doesn't allow me to keep going. I have to stick to the points here. Ephesians 4, verse 30 says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit. By the way, He's a person, you know. You can't grieve an it or a force. The Holy Spirit, don't grieve Him. Don't upset Him. By whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Sealed. Now, this message, I hope, is going to end with a big, big push. It's very exciting. Are you guys ready? Are you excited about this? Are you ready? Listen, this is awesome. You're sealed by the Holy Spirit for the day of redemption. Meaning, not just your death, not just now, you have been sealed by the Holy Spirit unto the day when it's really going to matter. When you stand before God, the truth of the Holy Spirit having sealed you will be your great benefit, my great benefit. So what does this mean? I'm glad you asked. The word means this, to be embossed upon. You know an embosser? You have an embosser? You know what those are? Anybody? Put the paper in there and squeeze it, or you stamp a signature onto something. Listen, the Holy Spirit, has He embossed you, marked you? The word means to mark out, to stamp by signet, to be exclusive, a private identification mark of ownership, a security, a preservation. I love that. To keep sealed. Don't you love it? The Holy Spirit says, I have sealed you. I've marked you of ownership, the believer. Song of Solomon, chapter 8, verse 6. Song of Solomon, 8, verse 6. Set me as a seal upon your heart, as a seal upon your arm. For love is as strong as death, jealousy as cruel or demanding as the grave. What is your seal, God, upon me? Is when I look in this world, the grave is powerful. Death is powerful. What's more powerful than that? The seal of God upon your life. Have you been sealed by the Holy Spirit? Isaiah 49, verse 16. Behold, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Have I etched, embossed you? God says, I've embossed you on the palms of my hands. John 20, verse 24. Now Thomas, this is after the resurrection, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. Again, after the resurrection. And the other disciples therefore said to him, we've seen the Lord. And so he said to them, unless I see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. He sounds like he's a 21st century person here. And after 8 days, don't you love this? Imagine, those must have been 8 days from hell for Thomas. I will not believe it. He's all bummed out walking around. Everyone's rejoicing. Thomas is around kicking a can, kicking a rock. I don't believe it. Isn't that funny? Hey, aren't you one of the disciples? Yeah, what a waste of time that was. I mean, didn't you see Jesus? So what? You see him now? Kicking a can. I will not believe. 8 days later. 8 days later, the disciples were again inside. By the way, the word means they were shut in. They're hiding out for fear. And Thomas is with them. Jesus came. The doors being shut, stood in the midst of them. That means the miraculous appearance of Jesus. And he said, peace to you. Why? Because Thomas had no peace. And then he said to Thomas, reach your finger here and look at my hands. And reach your hand here and put it into my side. Ooh, that's creepy, huh? What did Jesus do? Because we know that when he would appear after the resurrection, he would have his robe on. He had a robe on, but what did he do? Did he lift up his robe? Did you untie the robe and it was like a V-neck? Think about it. What did he do? Or was it just through the fabric? I don't think so. Not for Thomas, and not for Jesus. I wonder if he rolled up his robe up to his side and said, "Put your finger." Look, put your finger in my holes of my hands and put your hand inside my body. Go ahead. Now, isn't this merciful? You ever doubt? Does God ever say to you, hey, you jerk? What do you always doubt me for? No, I bet you Jesus is saying to some of us today, why don't you put your finger in the holes of my hands? Isn't it awesome our God is not afraid to be tested and proven? He goes on, though. Look at this. He says, put your hand into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believe. Notice his hands. The sealing, the sanctifying. God has said, I have inscribed you in the palms of my hands. God is very committed to you. Do you know that? And we end with this, verse 12 at the end. Sanctification is how we live. Thank God. How many of you are Christians today? Raise your hands. That's how we breathe. This is how we live. Is Christianity your life? Is it everything? Yep. Governs everything I think, say, and do, right? Governs everything, everywhere you go, doesn't it? When you pull out your checkbook or your credit card or cash in your heart, it's automatic. Lord, should I do this with your money? When you and I have like two more extra hours or whatever it is, or two more minutes or whatever it is, where we can It's ours to decide, Lord, how would you have me to do this? Isn't it an amazing way to live? Yeah. Sanctification is how we live. He says, but that our care for you in the sight of God might appear to you. In Acts chapter 20, verse 32, the Bible says, so now, brethren, I commend you to God. What a dear thing Paul is saying in Acts 20. And to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who, what? Are being sanctified. Are being sanctified. Well, wait, are we sanctified or not? Yes. Which one is it? Both. Those who are being sanctified right now in life, the decisions you and I make, the things you and I go through. Are you going through a trial? Is something happening in your life to cause you to pray? To cry out to God? Are you sick? Is it relational? Is it financial? What is it? All of it plays into the grand sanctification that you are going through. But why are we going through that? Because you are sanctified. You are and you shall be. You have been declared sanctified by God in heaven. The Holy Spirit has sealed you now. But this is why you walk and I walk through so much grief in this life. We are sanctified by God, but we are being sanctified in our daily living, in the character and in the witness of being a Christian. So cheer up. Good days are ahead. What does that mean? Things look tough. They are tough. They're going to get tougher. Good days are ahead. How can you say that? Because God says so. This world's perishing. My outward body's perishing. But the inward man is being renewed. There's a good day ahead. Hebrews 10:10. Are you guys okay? We got a minute and a half left. That's a Christian minute and a half. Hebrews 10:10 says, by that will we have been sanctified. How? Through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. What's the effect of it? Once and for all. Hebrews 10:14. Watch, there's no contradiction. This is divine. For by one offering, that's Jesus Christ, the offering, he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. Did you hear what I said, everybody? You are sanctified, but you're living right now. And you are being sanctified. Because you're saved, you're growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. How cool is that? Here's where we end. Matthew 7:13. You can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad, and its gate is wide for the many who choose that way. But the gateway to life is very narrow, and the road difficult, and only few ever find it. What is that? You are on that path, Christian. It is rough, it is tough, it is dynamic, but because you are sanctified, you are being sanctified with every step of your sweet little foot. God is at work both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Aren't you glad you belong to him?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called Salvation's Key. It's a study taken from a section in chapter 7 of 2 Corinthians. Salvation's Key is actually a mini-series and part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse journey through this New Testament letter, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, of course, we're in the final week of January, so before we let this month get away from us, we want you to know about our Real Radio Book of the Month, Mere Christianity by C.S. Lewis. Remember, Pastor Jack personally selects a book every month for Real Radio listeners, and Mere Christianity is a classic by one of the greatest Christian thinkers of the 20th century. It's a worldview book that presents the Judeo-Christian faith from the so-called argument from morality. C.S. Lewis also expounds upon what is now known as the Lewis Trilemma. And just what is the Lewis Trilemma? Well, get your copy of Mere Christianity and find out. Once you read Mere Christianity by C.S. Lewis, you'll know why many say that every believer should have this classic in his library. You can purchase your own copy of Mere Christianity at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Our phone number here at Real Radio is 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ. and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.